Yeah, Carlos. It's a good guy right there, Carlos. Thank you. Well, real quick before we do what we're doing this morning, it is Memorial Day weekend, and really wanted just to take a moment, just an opportunity to stop, pause, and think about those that have really given a huge sacrifice in so many different ways. One of my heroes is my grandpa, who was a veteran, and then after being in the war, he came back and was a police chief in Spearfish, South Dakota for, I think, 20 years, something like that, 18 years, my dad's dad. And I just always looked up to him so much, and I think the older I get, the more I realize, like, what this means. You know what I'm talking about? Like, this is a huge deal. To be able to pause and just remember those. And some of you in this room, probably many of us in this room, have someone that we know that that isn't with us anymore, but served in the military. And so can we just take a moment and just pray and just ask God to be with those that maybe some people are still grieving in that mourning process. But let's just do that. Will you pray with me? Will you just join with me right now? Father, we just come before you right now. We thank you, Father, so much. We are so grateful, God, for your word says that there is no greater love than that of someone that would be willing to lay down their life for their friend, for someone else. And so, God, we just thank you for those. We really do, God. We thank you for those that have given their lives, Father, that have given everything, Lord, to protect us, to serve us, God, to, Lord, that they, just in such a selfless state, would choose to do something like this, Lord, for the benefit of so many people. And so, Father, we just see so many correlations to what you did for us, Lord, by sending your son Jesus and for your death, Lord, to give us life. And so, Lord, we just honor them. I pray for any family members, dear God, that are here that maybe this is a tough weekend for them. Maybe it's a weekend that brings back good memories, but also difficult memories. Father, we just pray you'd be with them, God. We pray your peace and your comfort over their lives and over their family this weekend. And we just thank you, God, and we just pray that you would continue just to bring protection in our lives and continue just to inspire us, Lord, to lay down our lives for people around us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Well, real quick, before I jump into this, I just want to remind everybody about our food drive, our box drive that's going on. This is the Children's Hunger Fund box that you can take home with you. They were here last week. If you missed it, go online because there's a lot of incredible things that happened last week. Our founding pastors were here as well with us, and that was awesome. Such a great time to hear the story of how this church began and to see where we're at today. So go online and find that out. But also, Children's Hunger Fund was here, and they talked about what they do in our city, and it's incredible what they do in our city. So we get to partner with them and be a part of what they're doing in our city to make a difference. He said that 1 in 4 children in our city are under that line where it's potential that they go to bed not knowing where their next meal is going to come from, or they wake up not knowing if they're going to get a meal. And so this is why it's such a great opportunity for us. So grab a box on your way out today, or 2 or 3 or 20, if you can fill them up. And there's a list right here that will tell you everything that goes inside. It's a great opportunity to do this as a family. Take your kids with you, do some shopping together, and then pack it together. And talk about what you're doing and why you're doing it. It'll make a good impact on your children, on your families, all right? And then this is our serve day that's coming up. We had last service, I think, because online registration didn't work last week. So in our first service, I think we had 25 of the 50 people sign up. So please go on. There's only 25 spots left. We're limited in how many spots we were able to take because there's just limited amount of space to be able to do what we want to do. So please sign up so you can take your kids. It's kid-friendly, family-friendly. So sign up for that as soon as possible. You could even do it now if you want. I won't judge you for being on your phone. As long as you're really signing up and not texting or Googling something. Like, where did he get that jacket? No, I'm just kidding. No one cares about that, right? Well, this morning, something interesting happened this week. We had a friend of mine was going to come and share with us this morning. And my friend, he grew up in the foster care system. And so he was going to come and share a little bit of his story. And just this week, he messaged me and told me that something came up, very important, and so he wasn't able to be here. And so we already had some other things planned, but I just really started just asking God, what do you want to do this last Sunday of Missional May? How do you want to impact us? And I just believe with all my heart that God gave me something so much for me, but I hope it's also for you as well. I think it is. And so I'm just going to share a few little things, and then we have a really great video that we're going to show with one of our families in the church that are doing foster care, and so it's going to be good. Amen? It's going to be good. I know you're not convinced, but I'm going to try to convince you. Let's pray. God, be with us right now. Open our hearts to receive what you want to give us. Open our eyes to see what you want to show us, and our ears to hear what you want to speak to us, God. We want your heart. We want to know how your heart beats, Father. We want to know why we exist, what we're called to be and do here in this world, Father. And so just have your way, God, and speak to us this morning in whatever way you want to do that. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Well, I'm going to put up a slide here, and this is something that you've probably heard many, many times, and it is be the light. Be the light. So cliche, right? I'm not trying to be creative. I'm just trying to be profound here. Be the light. I want to ask you guys, do you know where that comes from? And I'm sure many of you do know. And it's kind of giving it away right underneath there. but I don't think everybody knows that when we talk about be the light, be a light in the darkness, those kinds of things, that it comes from the Bible, that the words of Jesus are talking to us. And it doesn't even say that you should be the light. Jesus says you are the light. So if we look at Matthew chapter 5, we see this. This is the Sermon on the Mount, and Jesus is talking to many people. And he's just got done with the Beatitudes, where he says, blessed are the poor in spirit, blessed are the meek. And he talks about all these different ways that we are to live our lives, right? Well, then he goes on right after that to say that we're the salt of the earth, that we provide the saltiness to this earth. That's us. He's talking about people. And then he goes on to say this. He says, there we are. Matthew chapter 5, starting with verse 14. You are the light of the world, like a city on a hilltop that cannot be hidden. No one lights a lamp and then puts it under a basket. Instead, a lamp is placed on a stand where it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your good deeds shine out for all to see, so that everyone will praise your heavenly Father. So we see here that he's speaking to the church, or to those who choose to follow him. And he says that you are the light of the world, and that your good deeds shine and people see it. And the result of that is they praise their heavenly Father. That's pretty cool, right? We are the light. People see it through the ways where we're just obedient and walking out what God has called us to do. And then the result of that is people are drawn to that light. It makes a difference in their lives. And then eventually they join in on what we're doing, and that is praising the Lord. And so this is, I think, a beautiful picture of just the reflection that we are of his light, that we're like mirrors. And I'm sure you've heard this analogy before, but we're like mirrors. So we don't generate light ourselves, right? We don't try really hard. If I do enough, then I'm going to be bright and people are going to see me. No, what we do is we just allow the light of God, the light of the Father, the love of the Father to permeate us and to make a difference in us. And then in essence, what happens is then we just become mirrors, because the light is shining on us and then it shines out on the people around us. And that's a beautiful picture. I think it's a beautiful picture because, again, we don't have to do this on our own. It's just simply saying, God, I am available to allow you to shine through me to show yourself to this world. Come on, I feel like we should get up and do some jumping jacks right now because people are looking at me like, what are you talking about? I'm talking about the words of Jesus Christ where he says to us, you are to be a light in this world. There's darkness in this world and it's everywhere and you are called to go and be in the middle of it. I love the quote. It says, don't curse the darkness. Be a candle or light a candle in that darkness. Listen, sometimes I think we get our roles mixed up because we have never been called and asked to just be darkness cursers. Oh my gosh, it's so dark. It's terribly dark. Oh, it's getting darker. And because a lot of it is motivated by fear. We're like afraid of the dark, so we stay from a distance and curse at it. But Jesus, he takes us and he throws us right in the middle of it. And that's when things get interesting. When Jesus says, come and follow me, that's when things start to get interesting in our lives. Because when you literally begin to go and follow him, you're like, whoa, hold on here. I'm not in church anymore. By the way, don't get me wrong. He has us follow him into church too. That's a good thing. But he doesn't allow us to stay there. He takes us outside into the darkness. And before we know it, there we are in the middle of darkness, in the middle of situations that seem very difficult in people's lives. And if we will allow what God has done in us to shine in that darkness, people are drawn to that and they see it and it makes a difference in their lives. It doesn't just make it, yeah, come on, Tam. I'm glad Tam's in here because I'm preaching this morning. Listen. The light of God is strong, and people are drawn to it in a dark world. They may not even know that they are. I'm telling you, there's people out there, there's a world out there. I didn't know it when I was younger that don't even know they're in the darkness. But as soon as they see the light of Jesus Christ in us, then they realize, oh my goodness. And it's his kindness that leads them to repentance. And it's through that loving light and that goodness that he shows this world and that he shows us that we're able to then walk people into that light. And nothing is the same after that. Amen? So I want to talk about two ways that God will use us to shine bright. And these are, they may not be the only ways, but these are the two main categories. There's reaching out and there's letting in. And these are very different. The first one is reaching out. It's extending a hand to people. It's helping people in need. As a church, we get to do this a lot. We call it outreach, right? We get to do this a lot. We get to help. We get to send money. We're doing this. We're giving. We're sending out. And that's a good thing. Extending a hand to people. That's outreach. The second one is letting in. And I want you to hear something. There's certain work that can't be done by reaching out. It can only be done by letting in. And we're talking about people here. There's certain work that can only be done in close proximity when we allow people in close to us, when we allow them close to the light to feel the warmth of the light. Let me explain what I'm talking about here. One of the most important things that my parents taught me growing up was not only reaching out, which they did talk about that, and we got to do it as a family. We grew up missionaries in Chile. But they also taught me about letting in. I remember growing up that we had a number of different people at different times living with us. And I never really knew at the time why they were living in our house. It just seemed normal. It just seemed like, oh, I guess people live with you. I don't know. I didn't even think about, like, where are their parents? Where's their home? I just thought, well, this is what we do, right? Because my parents raised me that way. And now that I think back, I realize that every single one of those people that lived in our house at one point or another were there because they needed to. Because they needed someone that was willing to say, listen, I see you alone out there. I see you out there without the basic needs in life. Your basic needs aren't being met, so we're going to let you come in. I see you out there. You look lost. Come on in. I see you out there. You look all alone. Come on in. We're going to provide for you a family. I have a sister who's not really my sister, but her name's Diana Van Winkle. And she's not my sister, but I call her my sister. And she calls me her brother because she lived with us for a good amount of time. She lived with us because she needed someone that wasn't just going to reach out to her and say, here you go, I'm going to give this to you, but rather said, listen, come on in. You're a part of our family now. And like I said, there's some things, there's work that God wants to do through us that can only happen when we say, my doors are open, come on in. And now listen, come on, let's talk, stranger danger, right? Let's talk about it here. We're not talking just leaving your doors open at night. We're not talking about that where anybody can just come in and the next thing you wake up, you go down to breakfast and there's Joe sitting on your kitchen table and you don't know who he is, right? I'm talking about the people that God divinely appoints to be in your life. And I promise you, it will happen and he will show you and he will bring those people into your life if you're open and available to allow those people in. It may not be in your house, but it may be in close proximity where you become a mentor like Carlos talked about, where you become a friend to someone who just deeply needs a friend, where you become a respite to someone who's just going through a difficult time in their lives. Because again, there's some important work that can only be done in close proximity. So again, reaching out is a very good thing, right? The church calls it outreach. It's the way we reach out to the hurting, to those in need. We provide food for people. We extend hope and blessing to the people around us. But let me just say something, and I may step on some toes here, and I'm stepping on my own toes as well, but I think it's important that we talk about this. Sometimes we like outreach because it requires very little of us. Sometimes we like, well, the church is going to do it for us. Or the church will have us do this project and we'll do that this time of year and then I'm good. And sometimes we like outreach for that purpose because we don't have to get messy. We don't have to, like, we don't, sometimes it's just insecurity. Like, I don't think I can let someone close to me because my life isn't all that together. And so what we do is we keep people at distance and we keep doing outreach because we think that that's the way to control the situation. If you want to really make a difference in someone's life, give up control completely and give it to Jesus. Listen, sometimes letting in will mess up the comfortable life that we have. It will. But you know, I'm struck by the fact that Jesus said, I'm going to go, but I'm going to send you the Comforter. Why would we need a Comforter if we're just comfortable all the time? Come on, I need it. Tam, you need amen on that. Come on. No, listen, I think that we have to open ourselves up to the fact that when Jesus calls us to follow him, that it may look very, very, very different than what we've decided our life is going to look like. Amen? I can tell you from experience that this is true. But it's so worth it. It's so worthwhile. Letting in is simply being available when God reveals someone to you that needs you, not from a distance, but they need you up close and personal. We talked first service about some different, I think there's many people in this room that are already doing this. I don't suggest by giving this message that God like showed up and said, hey, no one in this room is like making any kind of a difference. No, I believe many of you are. I really do. I think of, like, last service we were talking about a teacher that was here. I think teachers do this. I think they do it really well. I don't know any teachers, people that I know that are teachers that sign up to be teachers for the money. Am I right? My wife's a teacher. and I go down there to the kids' house. She's a preschool teacher. And I go in there and I walk out. I'm like, how do you do this? Like, this is crazy. These kids are crazy. But I just believe that teachers really show the heart of this in letting kids in. Because it's not, you're not just letting them into your classroom, but you're letting them into your lives. And it's such a self-sacrificial thing. We talked about mentoring. We talked about friendship. You know, there's great organizations like Big Brother, Big Sister, CASA, which we're going to talk about here a little bit later, which is court-appointed special advocate. And then there's fostering, and there's all the things that we do with our foster ministry, which, again, we're going to talk about as we close today. But I want you to look at something in Matthew 25 that I think is very profound, and I believe that God wants us to see this morning. Matthew 25, starting with verse 34, it says this: "Then the king will say to those on his right," and he's already spoken to those on his left, and he's basically given some pretty harsh words. Go to Matthew 25 and you can see it, about those that just don't seem to really care at all. And Jesus is kind of, he's distinguishing, like, if you're going to follow me, you got to go this way and not this way. And so this is what he says to those that are going to follow him. He says, "Come, you who are blessed by my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the creation of the world. For I was hungry and you fed me." These are the outreach portions of this verse. "I was hungry and you fed me. I was thirsty and you gave me a drink." Now here's the letting in part of this. "I was a stranger and you invited me into your home. I was naked and you gave me clothing. I was sick and you cared for me. I was in prison and you visited me." And as many of you know, Jesus said these words and then his disciples were like, "When did we do any of that to you, Jesus?" And he said, "When you've done it to any of the least of these, kids, homeless, widow, orphans, the list goes on and on. When you've done it to any of the least of these, you've done it unto me." That's powerful. So we see in that verse, we see outreach and letting in, don't we? We see outreach and then we see going a step further, the difficult. "You were a stranger and I let you in my house because God told me to do it and he inspired me and led me to do this." When I was first a youth pastor, we started this big youth center at our church and we had a skate park outside and we had all these things and all these kids were coming. And there was, every single week I noticed this kid named Shane. And Shane had long blonde hair. He was a skater kid. And the only reason he came was because we had a skate park outside. And he loved to skate. But then he would always come into the service. He'd always sit in the back kind of by himself. Sometimes he'd sit with some of his skater friends. But I just noticed him every week. And so I just knew, like, God, I know you guys know what I'm talking about. Some of you know what I'm talking about, where God's like, that, you go after that person. That person's meant to be in your life. And so I would just, every time I'd see him, I'd say, "Hey, Shane, what's up, man? How's it going?" And I'd like give him a hug or something. And he thought I was crazy. He really did. But I just kept going. I kept going. And it was that persistence broke resistance. I just, every single week, I was in his life. We talked him into going to camp with us one summer, which was huge. Like never in a million years would I have guessed that he'd go to camp with us and like sleep in dorms with us and be immersed in just all these things that we did and like learning about God. And I remember at that camp, he would get his meal and then he'd go just sit off in a corner. He just was so insecure. He felt like didn't belong there. And so the first few days I would get my meal and I would go and sit with him. And every time I'd sit with him, he just looked at me, and he, like, never talked. But he'd just look at me strange. It was the third day at that camp, and I remember it so vividly. I'm sitting across from him, and finally, he looks at me, and he says, "Why are you doing this?" And I said, "Why am I doing what?" He says, "Why are you talking to me? Why do you always come up to me? Why do you give me hugs?" And I said, "Shane, God put me in your life for a reason. And I'm supposed to love on you and show you how much he loves you. You don't have a father on this earth, but you have a father in heaven. And he loves you so much." And I remember just, there was other people around too. And everybody's like, "Whoa, what's going on here?" They're having a moment, like a bromance happening or something. Because we're both like, he gets choked up and tears come in his eyes. And so 2 years later, after being able to mentor him and be in his lives, he told me, he said, "Listen, you are the only person," he's 18 at this time, "in my entire life who hasn't given up on me, that has encouraged me, that has stuck with me." He needed someone. And there's no way that I could have impacted Shane's life from a distance. I had to get close to him. I had to let him in. He had to let me in. That was the harder part. But once he did, God worked and moved. I remember when Amy and I first got married, we let a young girl named Samantha live in our house. And she just was kind of in a time of need, so we let her stay in our basement in our spare bedroom. And it went really well. It was a great experience. And so we were like, wow, this is easy. Like, this is how it works. You just have people come in, and it's wonderful. And so we're like, hey, maybe we should write a book about letting people stay in your house. You know, we're so good at it, which is what we thought about our first child, too. And then came along the second person to stay in our house, a single mom with her son. And it was not easy. It was difficult. It was one of the hardest things in our life that we went through. The little boy was right between our daughters, and he would yell at him and cuss at him, and he hit him at times, and it was just a really, really difficult situation. But we knew that God called us to do this, that he asked us to do this, to let her in, to let them in. She had just gotten out of, I believe she was in rehab. She just got out of rehab. She didn't have anywhere to go, anywhere to stay. And so God asked us to open our doors to her and her son. And it was difficult. It was really difficult. And it didn't even end that great. And so we thought, oh, what failures. Like, we're never going to do this again. This is difficult. And time went by where we didn't even really talk to her very much. And She's an old friend of Amy's, and so they didn't even talk very much. But recently, they got reconnected. This girl is in prison now for a DUI. And you would think that that's a bad thing. And it certainly isn't great. Her son's in a good place. He's with family. He's doing well. She's in prison, and God has completely turned her life upside down in prison. She is a missionary in prison. She writes Amy all the time now. And talks about all the people that are getting saved in prison and all the people that she gets to influence in this prison. And since then, she has talked to us about the time that she came to our house and essentially said, we were in a dark place and you provided light for us. And listen, we talked to our daughters. We're like, did that mess you up so bad? Are you going to need counseling? Do you need counseling now? And they're like, no, we're good. We know why we did it. And they do. God was with us, and God was with our kids. Even when they were getting punched, they're like, oh, God's with me, yes. But listen, God, when he calls us to it, he sees us through it. Amen? When he calls us to something, he sees us through something. He doesn't just from a distance. Listen, he's all about the letting in himself. That's where we first got this from. And so he's with us. He's in the mix with us. People will go towards the light, and when they feel the warmth of it, they're changed forever. So every week this month, we have highlighted a ministry that's making a difference in a specific area that we're talking about. So this week, I'm excited about the ministry that we get to highlight and that you get to see. And you've heard about this ministry before, but why I'm really excited about it is our other partner ministries were started by other people outside of our church, and they're doing something in the city. This ministry started from within, and it just organically, God just began to do something in our hearts, and next thing you know, we have foster families in our church. We already had a foster family, I believe one foster family when we started this. Now we have foster families, we have mentors, and we have a ministry team. And so this is Lifehouse Foster Care Ministry, and we're going to talk a little bit more about it here in just a second. But the reason we're doing this is because every week we want to give you guys an example of what we're talking about. I believe foster care, because of the thousands of kids that every single month get sent out of our county because there's not enough homes for them in here, I believe foster care is one of the truest, most genuine. In fact, James 1:27 says, true and genuine religion in the sight of our Father is taking care of the orphans and the widows in their distress and not letting the world corrupt you. So there is no better picture, in my opinion, of walking this out than actually letting a vulnerable child into your home or being a part of this ministry where you support the people that are letting vulnerable children inside of their home. And every single one of us can be a part of it. You don't have to be a part of this ministry. I'm sure some of you are already involved in mentoring or doing something. But I believe God is calling every single one of us to not just reach out, but also to let in whatever capacity that is, he will show you. But I want to show you this video. This is just as great, this family, the Lanzas, Jason and Kim and their family. They have two sons. Watch this video, And then I'm going to introduce Kim to you as soon as it's done.
Hi, Lifehouse. My name's Kim.
I'm Jason.
We are the Lanzas, and we have two of our own biological boys that are 12 and 11. And we have
three foster children. We have a girl that is 8, a boy that is 8, and a boy that is 7.
Correct. And so we have been fostering for
almost 3 years.
3 years now. It feels so much longer. And so we've had a lot of children in our home, and it started a long time ago, even though we've only been doing it 3 years. When we were dating, we actually talked about it, and then we got married, and I was a youth pastor. And so one of our kids in the youth ministry happened to be older, but she was in a really bad situation. She had just turned 18, and we took her in. We had just gotten married, right?
Maybe 2 months.
2 months. And so she came, and we kind of rescued her in a way. We really just gave her a safe place to land, and we just helped her to get her life together a little bit. And so she actually, you don't always get to see the fruit of your labor, but years later, after she had moved out, she actually got married and had children, and her husband was the worship person at her church, and really cool story. So sometimes you don't always get to see that, but it's really cool to see that we helped her. So that was really a kickstart to what we wanted to do.
Yeah, showing that what she was going through at that time, that she didn't see a way out of her current life, and that she was able to see what we were doing, it gave her a new sense of life and what mm-hmm. she can do. Seeing what she's doing and with her own kids is really special.
It is. It's pretty neat. So then we took a long break. We had our own children, and we actually started to do the foster program, and it just wasn't the right time, and that happens sometimes. And then it just happened. And I think for me, it was a bigger knock on God's door, because at night I would just have a hard time sleeping, thinking of how many children. So mine was like almost God saying, you're not going to be able to sleep unless you do this. But he always felt the same way too. You've always felt like you wanted to do more.
My grandparents fostered, I really didn't see it. They did it a lot. They did it before I was really born, but I knew some of the kids after, and seeing what they were able to do always amazed me. I always feel like we should be giving back to the community, and what better way to give back than to show children that they could do more.
Yeah, it's hard to think of all of those children out there that just, I'm not trying to be one of those sad videos, but there's just so many kids out there. And so I think our main thread in our culture in this is that we just want to expose as many children to a different life as possible. And that is, you know, dinner together, kisses at night, prayers, books, you know, just love, structure, routine. And that is really what our house is built on.
And there's days that you'll feel like you're not being successful. There's days you'll look and they'll take 5 steps backwards, and then you'll see them 6 months later and you'll see the difference, or people will come and say what a difference it is, and you get used to it, and it's just amazing to see the difference.
Yeah, sometimes we're like, are we making a difference? And then someone in the family, like of the children's families, will see them or take them to a place that they used to go, like an old church with their grandma or something, and we'll hear back, like, they're breathing better, they're, you know, they're happier, they're smiling, they're not having tantrums, you know, all those type of things start to, you know, to show us that we're making a difference for them.
One of our biggest fears starting was our kids. We wanted to make sure our kids would be safe and they would be comfortable at it. So we wanted them at a certain age that they would understand what's happening and why we're doing it. And I don't think we would be as successful as we are without them.
Yeah.
You know, they've been tremendous. That was our biggest doubt. They've really been a rock, that they help us with that foundation. And they really
appreciate it.
No, it's definitely not easy for them, but they know why we're doing it and why they're doing it. And even at school, they say they want to help people, that it's just changed how they do it. It's also showed them a different way how to interact with people, right? You learn that at an older age, and they're learning that
they're more well-rounded. You know, unfortunately, and fortunately, we live in a privileged kind of world over here, so our kids don't really get a lot of that. And taking them on a missionary trip and all that is awesome, but this day-to-day stuff has really balanced them out and made a difference in them. As far as my vision with God, and I think I've spoken about this before, is like I always picture myself just sitting like on like a curb, very just like a child with God, and just saying, thank you, you know, that's what I needed. I needed you all to take care of those children. I needed you to take care of the ones that aren't taken care of. And so that's always been a visual in my head for me, is that God just saying, you got it right. That part you got right. You might have got a lot of things wrong, but that part you got right. You know, take care of my children.
So if any of this is stirring anything inside of you, let God in and make those right choices. You know, there's very many things that you could do. You know, one of the things is, even if you spent an hour with kids outside of people you know, them getting that experience to meet other people and see other faces and see how other people live, give them another avenue of hope. And you could be that hope if it's for 1 hour, one day, or 20 years. It's really up to whatever you would want.
Yeah, there's a place for everybody in this ministry. And I think in life in general, fear and any obstacles make us just say no. But don't let that be this case. Like, go for it. If there's something inside you that is saying that you feel like you could be part of the solution, then don't let those fears stop you. Like, we are here, we'll support you. The church will support you. I will support you. We just are just blessed that we're getting the opportunity to get more people involved and more children to have a better life.
Come on, that's amazing. The Lanzas are here. Your boys are amazing. Good job, guys. Kim, come on up here. I want to introduce Kim to you all because I've been, I guess, by default, the director of this ministry over this last year. But Kim has taken over as the director because she is way better equipped and more awesome of a person as I will ever be. So, no, I'm just kidding. But you are definitely the right person to take this and move it forward. So, guys, this is Kim Lanza. She is available to y'all. She's amazing. And I'm going to let her introduce our team that God has put together and what they all do.
Awesome. We have that team. Oh, here they are. Well, hi, everybody. How are you? Good afternoon. Yes, this is our team. It really started, actually, with Jeremy really having a fire for this. So I have to first say that I think one of the things I appreciate about Lifehouse in general is that it is missionary focused. So that in itself is awesome. But he just had this desire to bring this to Lifehouse, and so really started there. And then, like he said, organically, this team developed, which has been excellent. So I guess I'm the director now. I don't know. I guess that's me. And then I'm going to go through each piece. I know Carlos spoke, which is excellent, and the mentoring for the kids that are aging out or older that really just need that sound voice, that sound person in their life. We're actually trying to come up with actually a day where the women or the young adult women, and if some of them have children, will come and have like a pampered day here at Lifehouse. So we're just looking for things like that. So there's going to be so many things that you can be involved in here. But Lucy is over our babysitting, which we've done a couple of babysitting collaboratives here. Basically, it's like a day where you just get trained and you can actually babysit. Because for foster families, we can't just call neighbor next door and say, like, I have to run. Can you watch my kid? It's way more regulated. So we do need people that are actually babysitters in the system. So that's one way. So basically we come to Lucy and say, hey, Lucy, I have this event, or I have to go to a training, or I have to do this. And she will send it out to our babysitters, and they will answer. So we appreciate Lucy for being over that. Luann is over our prayer and care and needs. So she basically every week will contact all the foster families. what's happening, what do you need prayers over, who needs prayers, and she sends it to those who have signed up to be part of our prayer team, and so they will actually pray over it. But she also does need, so if we need, you know, bunk beds or this, we've had situations where one foster family is bringing bunk beds to another foster family, and she oversees all that. So excellent. She's an amazing part of it as well. Carlos spoke, again, excellent part. A lot of these kids that are older do get, they don't get the right attention that they should. And then Christy Ford is our admin, and she's like our sound mind. We're not as organized as she is. She's just excellent. She lets us know what's happening in just general in San Antonio with the foster training. She's on top of all of that, and she's really the one that has all the information. So she's really excellent. But anyway, so I'm just so delighted to have this highlighted. I know there's so many missionary things out there, but these children just need this. They need people to be advocates for them, because there's just so many. You know, earlier in the service, I kind of let everybody like take a minute to just like close their eyes and really think about a time in your life where you were really vulnerable or maybe unsettled or trauma or something in your life. Where you really were at a heightened state. And a lot of these kids, so if you can bring yourself there, and some of you have actually lived that life, so I can't sit up here and say that many of you haven't lived a tragic childhood or have had things happen to you that can quickly bring you to that emotional state. But these kids live in that state all the time, so even a short amount of exposure to these kids, you have no idea how it changes their life. Just any exposure, coping skills, just feeling love, being the light, taking the light, all of that is just an enormous part of what we can do. But there are so many pieces to this ministry. And again, not everybody wants even their own kids in their home, so I don't expect everybody to take other kids into their home. I get that. but the structure part of it, I can't explain it. And like this time I was kind of picturing what Jeremy was saying with the light. Like, you just picture the light being covered by this black cloth, and like all the pinholes are all that support that you guys can be. And the light just keeps shining out, because without the prayers and the support and all that, that structure, most foster families that don't survive past a year, it's because they're not supported. That's really the main reason why people don't do it, is because they're not supported. So that's why we're creating this here at Lifehouse, so that the foster families don't feel overwhelmed, exhausted, and so they have that support. So next week, June 2nd, we are actually having another informative meeting after the second service, which will just give you any information. And so CASA, he spoke a little bit about that. CASA is my favorite people because they're volunteer, and they basically can take one kid, they could take 10 kids, and basically be their advocate for actually the courts. So their role is, even though volunteer, is very important, because they don't have any other focus but the child. And so when the court judge speaks to them, they know they're coming from a real genuine place. So that could be 10 to 15 hours a month that you volunteer, but we're happy. So all of these pieces, the babysitting, the prayer, actually fostering, all of those things will be highlighted next week, and we could share with you how you can get involved. If you're not here, just go on the website or contact any of us, but it's been transforming for my family and for the kids that we take in, and I just hope that you could be part of that. The light, be the light, come do it. And there's a place for everybody in this ministry. So I think I got it all. Did I get it all? Yeah. All right. Thank you so much.
Awesome. Thank you so much, Kim. Well, let's have the worship band come back up, and we'll have the ushers get ready for the offering. So we do have a web page on our website, lifehousesa.com. If you go on there, you'll find the Foster and Adopt Ministry page. You'll see all of the people that are on this team, as well as their email addresses. So if you want to ask them any questions about being a part of their team, or just questions about what it looks like to do some of these different things, they would gladly answer these questions for you. So be sure and check out our website and then our webpage, and then come next week. It's in the conference center. We'll pack it in. Just come if you're at all interested in this. We want to help you through this and guide you through it. As we're closing, I just want to say this last thing, and I didn't mention it earlier, and it's just simply that we also get to be people that show others that they have a light inside of them as well. And I think I realize that that's, I think more often than not, what I've had the opportunity to do is just come alongside someone and say, listen, you bear the light of Jesus inside of yourself too. And once they begin to see that, it makes a huge difference in their world and in their lives. And I just want to end by asking, if your light is shining, how is it shining? Because if it is, you'll see fruit. You'll see something happening there. And then if not, what's hiding it? Maybe there's fear. Maybe there's insecurity. Maybe there's, you know, just so much that holds us back from really following Jesus. I'm convinced that, and I'm just going to be really honest, that if Jesus came up to me right now and said, I want you to follow me in the same way that my disciples followed me, man, that would be tough. Because that's pretty hardcore. But I would do it because I believe that it's the Creator. He's the one that created me. He knows what's best for my life, and He knows how this world operates, and we are God's plan A, and He has no plan B. So it's up to us to just be available, and that's what it takes, is just being available. So God, we thank You for this morning. We thank You for Your goodness. We thank You, God, that You pursued each one of us, that we all were at one point in the dark. We all were at one point lost, at one point blind. But Lord, now, by Your grace and by Your goodness and by Your mercy, Lord, we can see. We're no longer lost, but we belong. We are Your sons and we are Your daughters. And Lord, I just pray that we would have eyes for the people around us the same way that You had eyes for us, God. That as You stopped at nothing for us, that we would stop at nothing to pull people in, Lord. Pray that You would cast out all fear, all insecurity, God. As Your word says, You have not given us a spirit of fear, but You've given us a spirit of power, of love, and of a sound mind. So let us walk out of this building today knowing that, God. Not just knowing it, but so permeating our hearts that we see the difference, God. We love You and we give You praise. And now, Lord, as we give of our tithes and our offerings, Lord, I just pray that You would take this offering, You take this, the finances of our church, Lord, do what You want to do with them, Father. I pray that it would be for Your glory, that it would make a difference in our community and around the world. We love You and we give You praise in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. All right. Well, as the